And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Monday, middle of September, September 15th, and we're looking at temperatures outside in the 70s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, and happy Monday to you there. Bridget, how was your weekend?
We just had a little rain shower passing through here. As I was getting my headphones on and set up, I could hear some rain on the roof.
Yeah, a little bit. In fact, on radar right now, there's an area of low pressure that's rotating northward, and we've got some showers on radar stretching from Logan Center through Mayville, down through Hunter, and that's all moving to the north and east, generally just northwest of the FM area. Now, as this line of rain moves northward, by, let's say, 2:30, 3 o'clock, we'll start to break into mostly sunny skies. And we could see some stronger storms, though, in the northern valley later this afternoon into the evening hours, as we're looking at a little more instability up to our north, while the rest of us has mainly sunny skies for the rest of the afternoon. We'll top out in the low 80s today with south winds at about 15 to 30. A quiet night tonight, clear to partly cloudy, a low near 60. And for Tuesday, more of a summer-like day instead of the middle of September. Mid-80s tomorrow, light northwest winds and plenty of sunshine. And then we'll see the clouds increase on Wednesday with highs around 80. Could see some late-day showers or thundershowers. And then a pretty decent chance of some widespread rain as we head into Thursday and Friday with temps cooling back to around 70 degrees. We really had an interesting weekend across the state, Bridget. In fact, there were 19 tornadoes that were recorded in the central part of the state from Bismarck up through Devil's Lake. And that is a record for any particular day in the month of September. Never happened before in the state. And to put it in perspective, between 1950 and 2024, the total number of tornadoes during that 74-year time span in the month of September for North Dakota has been 27, and we had 19 in one day. So kind of an amazing event yesterday.
And we had hail, and we had heavy downpouring rain. And prior to that, we had a situation such as that Candu Devil's Lake area having anywhere from 2.5 to 7 inches of rain. So we have had a lot, which reminds me, we are the Coral Laundromat Studio, and for heaven's sakes, if you're having trouble with some of these things, you've got some minor basement flooding, maybe it's time to wash some rugs because of all of the mud that's coming in from the field, the farm, and all of the moisture that's been falling, well, don't forget to head on over to the laundromat. You can find new Coral Laundromat laundromat store at 3620 Veterans Boulevard, and you can look at them online at corallaundromat.com. One of the things that we get to talk about today is Troy Mathern from Heritage Homes is joining us because there's an upcoming parade of homes. And so, Troy, this has an appeal because fall, people start thinking about moving into smaller places. I remember when farm families moved to town for the winter months. You've got a place for folks to go if they decide this harvest is over and done and they're ready to move to town. Do you want to mention some of those things?
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me on. And you're right. Yeah, we're kind of ramping up for fall. A lot of people want to start looking now. There's a lot of pent-up demand. Our rates are starting to come down and things are favorable. And the best way to do it is to get out to the Parade of Homes this weekend, starting on Saturday at noon. We'll be going this weekend and then Monday as well and then next weekend. But Heritage Homes, we got three brand new models on display out in Horace at Sunset Valley, which is our new 135 home site master plan. And we're excited to showcase two stories and a Rambler, but we also have some 55 plus living at our we're a ranch at the Wilds, which is 662 Rania Way, which is also another great opportunity.
And Troy, this sounds like something, I mean, something you'd find in Arizona in terms of just the amenities and just, you know, like you said, 55 and older. And explain like more of that, what you have available.
Yeah, so part of our Sunset Valley project, there's actually two ends to it. So we have our active adult side, our 55 plus, and they're going to have their own amenities with the clubhouse, the pool, the pickleball courts, the fitness center, all with on site. But then on the other side of it, on the south side of the project, there's 79 single family, and they're also going to have their own amenities. And that's more geared to the family side, where it's going to have a pool, splash pad, a pavilion for outdoor barbecues, a dog run, So if you're thinking about being close to family, maybe grandma and grandpa want to live close to the kids and grandkids, we have that accessibility to be able to do it in the same community. So we're kind of bringing that, like you mentioned, that amenity feel that you see so often down south. We're bringing that up to the metro, North Dakota's first amenity center, with all these different opportunities for families to enjoy that living without having to get in the car and go somewhere to enjoy it.
You know, Troy, when you live in a small town, you're used to your local builder, your favorite lumber yard, whomever it might be. And having come from one myself, I can tell you that the same company built my brother's house, the house I grew up in, the farm shop, the dairy barn. I mean, you see a theme here, right? But Heritage Homes has been building for 30 years in this area. And I feel like you've established yourselves as well as an accurate builder and been voted one of the best.
Yeah, and we're very proud of that. As a matter of fact, we are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, and it's very important to us, you know, and we always want to stay ahead of the curve. We always want to be unique and different and bring something new to the community that the community hasn't seen, and we've been doing that for years. And we've also recently became employee-owned, too, so our team is very vested as we're all owners now. So just being part of the company, our team takes great pride in everything we do for our clients, and we're excited to showcase, like I mentioned, three brand new homes starting on Saturday, just finishing up the last touches. And the Parade of Homes is obviously a good opportunity for us to be able to do that, to show the community everything that we're doing at Heritage.
And Troy, one of the things people worry about around here are specials. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so actually our Sunset Valley, that's, you bring up a good point. We actually did the infrastructure ourselves, so we didn't bid it out with the city. So all of our specials are less than $20,000 right now, which is obviously a huge savings, and we're really excited about that. So you're going to not only be able to get all those amenities and all those different things, but to be able to move into your house with specials that are less than $20,000, it almost seems like a no-brainer. And we'll have our sales team on staff at the Parade of Homes, and we'll help you understand what that means when the specials are so low, or more importantly, why the specials are so low. And our team can help educate you that if you come out and visit with us. And if you can't come out and visit with us, all our information is at heritagefargo.com. And there's all the information there to walk you through everything that's happening at Heritage Homes.
Tell you what, for those who participate in voting for the InForum Best Of, you have been the best home builder for the last 12 years. And this year's voting starts today, so it is time to get out and vote. If you've had a great experience with Heritage Homes, let others know. Anything that they have done that has been outstanding in customer service, which is everything, you're going to want to vote for them. And you can do that, again, with InForum. But, Troy, folks want to find you at a totally different website, and that is?
HeritageFargo.com, and all your information will be there. But if you're interested in coming out at the Parade of Homes, our featured home, actually the Parade of Homes, one of the featured homes, is at 6837 Sunrise Point in Horace. Otherwise, like I mentioned, just stop at HeritageFargo.com and all your information's there.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Again, we've got folks that are thinking about making some changes this winter in our smaller communities. Some of the farmers might want to get ready to start moving to town as they age, and someone else is taking over their operation. So thanks for giving us these options.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me on today. Have a good day.
Thanks, Troy. You too. You too. And hey, I'm Bridget. You know, it's that 55 and older community sounds, you know, that sounds like fun. It sounds like more of an active community with the pickleball courts.
Well,
and
you
everything.
Might be there. I'll join you in a few years.
Well, yeah, I'm already there. Yeah, you've got a ways to wait.
Sorry, man. I'm not there yet. Yeah. So close. Oh, man. All right. So one of those things, though, that we think about is our youth. And when we talk about our youth, we think about Cass County Farm Bureau and the work that they are doing to help the youth in the area. And they are our sponsors for our Assistant Ag Director. And so if you have an interest in being that Assistant Ag Director, I'm going to ask you to visit with the folks at the Collegiate Farm Bureau level, because they're helping us find our interns for the next couple of months, because they do so much. They have several things, including scholarships, but also students groups have been sponsored. They have their president joining the meetings. They have been out at Big Iron, and they are certainly following with their pillar of ag education by sponsoring a building out at the fairgrounds, and that is the Ag Education Building. Sounds like we have a caller, though, Dean.
Yeah, we do. Before we go to break, we're going to take Wade on line two. Wade has some questions about the tornadoes out west yesterday. Wade, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that wasn't a record outbreak, but it was certainly terrible. But in 2008, July 7th, there was a record of 21 tornadoes. And 11 of those hit Belcourt County and Rolette County and Bottineau County. And I have a sister that lives in St. John, North Dakota, which is in Rolette County.
Right.
And they had a scary day, none the least.
Right. Right. Yeah, this was a record for the month of September, not a record in terms of the most we've seen in a month, just for the month of September. I mean, it's unheard of this late in the season, really, to get that going on. And you know what? This is the same cycle in the LRC cycle. We said mid-month was going to be a stormy one. This was the same cycle that last time brought the severe weather out in the Bismarck area and flooding rains as well. About 50 days or 42 days prior. So, fortunately, nobody died from this. That's good news. We haven't had any reports of any serious injuries. But like Bridget was saying,
poor guy with no homeowner's insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very unfortunate there. No doubt about it. Well, wait, hey, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for calling Weather and Ag and Focus.
Bye.
All right, so we're going to go to break, and when we come back, who do we have on coming? We've got somebody coming on right after break here, Bridget.
We do indeed. We'll be joined by Russell Burr. Russell is one of the founders and organizers of the Half Century of Progress. It's a farm show down in Illinois that's quite a bit different than your traditional farm show. So we're going to visit with Russell when we return, and you can give us your calls on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We have had such a great opportunity to work with Here We Grow this year for 2025. And our harvest video is up as of today. You can find it on YouTube and Facebook. You can look for that at Weather and Ag in Focus, and you can follow us along there. Like, subscribe, make sure you're a part of every day. And then additionally, if you miss any episodes of this show, you can find us on Acres TV. Well, we are thrilled to be joined today by our guest, Russell Burr. He is one of those guys that had a great brainchild one day, and it turned out to be the Half Century of Progress. It's kind of a farm show that's very different than one might imagine. And for those with questions, you can call us during our chat with Russell today at the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Russell, how'd you decide to put together a farm show?
Well, that happened in 03, actually in 02, we started the process. Farm Progress wanted to celebrate their 50th anniversary, and they wanted to have 50 years of things. And we come up with that idea to just have do stuff that was 50 years old. With, you know, the stuff come out in 1953, we featured that stuff, and it just kind of took off from there. And we've been doing it ever since 03 then.
Okay, how big was the start? What did it look like in 03 when this was just getting rolling?
Well, we had several tractors and stuff. We had beans to combine and corn to pick, and it was, like I say, that was in September then, because that was the show was then when that all happened. And so we had Saturday and Sunday, we played around out in the field. We had 80 acres of corn, 80 acres of beans, and just tried to have a lot of fun. And everybody thought they had so much fun, we better keep doing this again. And then on that Sunday night, it rained, and then we moved over to the Farm Progress Show. It was about a half mile away there by Henning, Illinois, and we brought our stuff over there, and the first day was a great day for Farm Progress, and then Wednesday and Thursday they had a great big rain, and it just mudded everything out, and that was that for the show for the 50th anniversary.
You guys decided to make this a little bit of fun, and I like that, because when I think about the Half Century of Progress now being all on its own show that you have put together, it's not necessarily a trade show like Farm Progress is. You guys are more of a equipment highlight show. How do I describe it to people who've never been there?
Yeah, I would say that's what it amounts to. Like the first day of the show, it was on the, we had the show August 21st through the 24th, and on that Thursday morning, then we go on out to the field, and then we had 63 corn pickers lined up ready to pick some corn, and there was 15 more accounted that was in the wings waiting to do something too. So that was just the corn pickers, let alone the people ready to plow, the people ready to combine beans and things like that. So yeah, it all starts and everybody can't wait. It seems like they want to try their old machines out because that's all we had was, you know, they haven't made a corn picker since mid 70s. That was about the last year they ever made corn pickers. So, everything is getting old, but, they go through this crop still and they got the thing working good. So we have just a good time.
So one of the things that has changed over the years is, y'all went from being on just a smaller area. You were close to Farm Progress. You now use, if I'm not mistaken, a retired Air Force base is your show grounds. How did that happen? How did you call the Air Force and say, hey, you guys ain't using this? How about if we do?
Well, at one time, the Farm Progress was looking at that for their permanent site, and they ended up at Decatur with ADM over there, and they had this in mind, too, because of all the concrete and all the ground around the airport. So we've got about 400 acres that we can farm out there, and that was going to make a good thing for Farm Progress, too, if they wanted. But they ended up at Decatur, which is fine, and so then we thought, well, why don't we just try that? And so in 05, we moved our stuff over to Rantoul at the Chanute Air Force Base and been having fun ever since.
And a lot of fun. I saw some pictures from it this year, and it was tremendous. So we're going to talk about that when we return. We've got some news to catch up on, but Russell, don't go anywhere because we have questions. Sounds like 25 was probably one of the biggest years ever, and I can't wait to ask about what was there, what people saw, and what's going to happen in the future. So we'll be right back after this. Here's your chance to nominate that first responder, and you could win a pair of tickets for a meet and greet with Lee Bryce at Shields Arena on September 27th. Coming really quickly. One lucky first responder will be selected. Thanks to Schmidt's Gems of Fargo, your diamond destination. Make sure that you nominate or register online at WDAYRadioNow.com, and we are selecting our winner on September 22nd. That's just next week, so you better hustle up and get those nominations in. Meanwhile, we're joined by our guest today. That is Russell Burr. Russell is one of the founders and leaders of the Half Century of Progress Farm Show. So, Russell, when folks hear about this show, I always think of it as a little bit vintage, right? We see a lot of older equipment. Are there limits onto the ages? Like nobody can bring a brand new 9RX or anything like that? Or what does that look like?
Well, we might have some of those things running people movers. We got people mover people can ride on, like big wagon type things. And so we might have some new stuff like that. So the guys can drive them with air conditioned comfort, but we got everything in the field. We have all the older vintage stuff. We have some steam engines. The oldest one was probably in the 1910 or so range, all the way, you know, to the 1975, 78, somewhere in there out in the field, maybe 1980, something like that.
1910. Wow. Yeah, that's ancient.
Yeah, steam it, and then they make a lot of smoke and a lot of power. People never see that stuff out in the field actually pulling. They was pulling like a 10 and 12 bottom plows with the things.
Wow. Now, Russell, how has this evolved in terms of crowds over, let's say, the last 10 to 20 years?
It just keeps getting bigger every time, it seems like. People, you can't describe it. You got to come there. And once people go there, they tell their neighbors, they say, well, you can't, you know, describe it. You just got to go there. Well, the more they talk about it, the more people come. And then the more that people just keep coming back, Ted, too.
So I saw drone footage of this year's show. Is there a way to estimate the size of the crowd or the number of tractors that were brought to be on display?
Well, we have probably, between the equipment and the tractors, over 4,000 pieces out there probably.
Wow.
I know there was over 34 or 35 states represented. That's the ones that we know about. And then other countries, Canada, Belgium, England, you name it. There's a lot of country for France. There's a lot of countries that was there also, on their tours. So
when I saw pictures of this event, and again, this is held at a former Air Force base, there's crop planted all the way around the runways and so forth. And that's where the demonstrations happen, whether they're picking corn, they're plowing, et cetera. Who does all that in advance, Russell? Is that you getting out there and planting that corn so
things
are ready in time for the
show? That's our committee. Yeah, that's our committee. We plant very early stuff. It's probably stuff that you guys plant up your way. It's early, early stuff, corn and beans. And when we was picking this stuff, it was about 17-18% the corn was, and the beans was dry too, so everything worked out just the way it's supposed to, I guess.
And you said there's a wide variety of years of equipment that's there. One of the videos I saw, to me it looked like you had groupings done. So let's say there was a bunch of IH 1486s or 1086, and they were kind of all parked together. Is that what you try to do, is to keep those specific models together so people can see them all at one time?
Well, we have section for the Alice Chalmers or the International Harvester, John Deere, Massey Harris, Massey Ferguson, Ford, Oliver, you name it. We kind of have them. They have their own tent, and then they kind of have that. But out in the field, we have like the two and three bottom classes or people out there, and then the bigger, five, six bottom tractors, and then even the prairie tractors and things like that. So we try to separate that out a little bit just so everybody don't get plowed under. If you got a little tractor, you don't get plowed under by this great big one, because we had the earthquake there again. The Randall brothers from Holgate, Ohio, they had their earthquake there, and they was pulling a 15 bottom plow. So with the earthquake, so just things like this.
We
have big stuff or little stuff, you name it. And then we have the biggest flying flag out there. That's always a very thing. They come from North Carolina with that flag and fly it every day for 4 days, and it just really makes quite the picture time during the parade and stuff. Everybody wants to have their tractor under the big flag taking a picture.
Speaking of parades, when you look at the event schedule, it looks to me like there's some things that happen every day, the field demonstrations, etc. Are there parades every day as well for the equipment and tractor pulls?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, tractor pulls, parade. We do the parade. Really, the parade on Thursday is a tractor drive coming back. There was about 130 tractors went on a tractor drive out in the county. And then they come back around noonish or so, and so that's the parade. But then on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, then we have the parade. Anybody that wants to be in the parade can come through there. And we try to – one day we try to feature – like this year was a class of 1975, because it's 50 years old this year, the 1975 equipment. So we try to have some of that on one day and just try to feature certain things, whatever we can, just have everybody come and have a good time yet.
And Russell, where do you see this heading over the next 5-10 years?
I don't know.
Hard to say, right?
It is. It's just everybody wants to keep this. And some of this too, this year we kind of had some highlights. We had the International 1206s. We had about 270 1206 tractors there, just 1206, let alone all the other international harvesters. And we had over 100 and some pieces of Caterpillar stuff. It was 100-year of Caterpillar they celebrated there, so we had a real good display of all the cat stuff. And then John Deere wanted to have something, so they had over 100 John Deere 4020s out there. So next year they'll probably come up with some other anniversary of some kind, and they want to have something like that again. So there's always some highlight of a certain year. So in 2027, we'll have figured out something like that. You know, maybe it's the actual flow combine that's coming out that fall and things like that. And like I say, there's always highlights of certain equipment that some manufacturer come out with that year.
Russell, how many acres of ground do you cover out there with what's the demonstration grounds, as well as I see all the equipment parked on the runways?
Yes. Like I say, we had about 280 acres of corn this year and about 70 acres of beans. And then we got about 100 and some acres of wheat. We had wheat also. And then we had maybe 50, 60 acres of wheat. And then we have about 120 acres of hay that's all done before we ever start the show, because we have to have parking and everything. So we park on a lot of the hay ground, and then on the outside of the base or the airport, then we've got a bunch of parking out there. So it's just a lot of grass that we want to park on, and it takes a lot of grass and hay and areas to have all the equipment and all the trucks and trailers that hauled the equipment in. And it's just a lot of stuff, and it's just expansive area. And luckily we work with the Village of Rantoul and have a real good working relation with them and the police and fire department and everybody. So it just really works out great.
It's especially really helpful because I saw how many golf carts, side-by-sides, four-wheelers, et cetera, were there, because it's a lot of ground to cover. And it was literally just lines of people in golf carts and side-by-sides watching the demonstrations. It was impressive.
Yeah, because it, although we have, like I say, people movers you can ride on too, but it takes something. If you was going to walk that, somebody was walking that, and I think he had 20 some miles already registered on his little wristwatch thing or whatever.
Device.
You know, it takes a lot of walking. So, yes, it does take a golf cart or side by side to get to one place to the other, especially if you want to see this display or that display. And then, like I say, we have the sanctioned tractor pulls on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yep. So that's always a big draw that we have stuff like that. So we got all kinds of things going out in the field or on the track.
You know, when I first started hearing about the Half Century of Progress, I thought it was very much focused on, like, International Harvester. I did not realize that, like, all brands are welcome. Was that the original intent? Was it really focused on a specific brand, or has that changed?
No, we always wanted everything that ever made, you know, and that's somebody's always bringing something out of the woodwork that nobody ever seen, it seemed like, too. So, you know, we always try to have everything out there, and that's what makes the show, too. And then, like I say, we do the show every other year, so there's always, somebody has 2 years to work on something that nobody's ever seen before, it seems like. They find something out of the woodwork, and here it comes. So that's where they display it at.
Based on the size of what I saw, y'all need a little bit of time to recuperate after this year. You had the nicest weather, you had the biggest crowds, you had the most equipment. So when does the next planning committee meeting happen so you guys can get rolling for 2027?
We've already had that. No, we've met with the village and met with the police and stuff, and you know, just to make sure what we could do, anything better, and what works and what don't work sometimes, and because we're always having to kind of move things a little bit. Sometimes there is that moving target that we have to kind of keep changing a little bit, you know, because something changes in the village or something, and with parking or something, and we just keep working with it and make it as good as we can, and hope for the best.
Well, Russell, I do intend to get there. I'm looking forward to being able to see all that antique equipment at work. And I say antique, it's not really antique. There's still a lot of that equipment that gets used on the farm every single day, and I get an opportunity to come down and see it. So thank you.
Yes, you need to come down. You, like I say, if you've seen the drones and the pictures of it, you've got a taste of it, but you've got to feel it. That it just,
well, I tell you
thing,
what,
once you get there, yes.
Your buddy Max Armstrong sort of sold me on it, especially when he sent me the link to do some bidding for that FFA toolbox. So don't worry. I know. I'll probably make it pretty soon.
There you go. That'd be good. We look forward to seeing you then.
That'd be a good road trip, Bridget. We could do our show live from down there.
Well, sure.
Yes, we could. It's right before the Farm Progress show.
There you go. That's right.
Well, thanks again, Russell. And when we come back, we're going to have a recap of the weather, which if you're wanting rain, there is quite a bit possibly in the forecast, but we'll also have some really, really nice weather, too. We'll run down all those details for you and more coming up after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside in the FM area and point southward, upper 70s, but you go just northwest of the FM area from, let's say, where you're at, Bridget, Hunter, and points northward, temperatures still in the 60s due to the fact that you guys had a little bit of shower activity, and that's with an area of low pressure moving northward. But we'll see increasing sunshine moving in from the south. That's kind of odd. We don't often see that, but this storm system moving northward, and so we'll see increasing sunshine for the rest of the day with highs warming up from the FM area southward into the low 80s and 60s and 70s for the rest of the area. And we still could see some strong storms develop in the northern valley into northwest Minnesota as we head towards evening. And then we're looking at decent weather for tomorrow, mid-80s, dry conditions, winds not that bad out of the northwest, 5 to 10. Clouds increase Wednesday. We'll see showers develop towards evening. And then widespread rain Thursday and Friday, with many areas picking up at least an inch of rain Thursday and Friday before we start to dry things out Saturday. And even a peek into next week, we return to the warm weather. I think by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're back in the 70s and 80s across the area with dry conditions. So kind of a little bit of rain here this week, and then it looks like we dry things out as we head again into next week with much warmer weather heading our way.
I would say that's very likely, and thankfully that drier weather was there for us when it was time to harvest our wheat field. You can look at that video today. It's up now for Here We Grow 2025. You'll see Dean in the field working with our farm cooperators, the Ulans, to harvest our wheat. Thank you to ND Estate Services for all of their help as sponsors this year, as well as Thor Buildings. I'm looking forward to doing one more video with Thor as a chance to look at what's going on in a farm shop construction very shortly. So thanks for all that they do, and check out those videos. Here in September, every Thursday, we are focusing on mental health for farms, ranches, and all of those who are in the agribusiness sector. And I want to say thank you to Prairie St. John, Maple River Grain and Agronomy, Gowan USA, and Valley Christian Counseling for the work that they have done to help sponsor this. We were on air last week from Big Iron with the CEO of Prairie St. John. We talked about the fact that it's not easy to say that we need help. That never is, especially in, I think, a lot of our farmers. You know, we make jokes about nobody goes to the emergency room until it's absolutely worst possible scenario. Let's be us. When we know that our anxiety and our depression is high, let's talk with others. Let's find the help that we might need. And Prairie St. John is a place in which we can do that. Valley Christian Counseling also wants to make sure you know that they will help you mind, body, and soul. And they want to work with you closely to help you get better as well. So just some of the things that are going on also in the headlines today. Did you realize that Hershey, Pennsylvania has a high school? It is the Milton Hershey School. And they are growing their leaders through classwork, community, hands-on learning. Students actually live there with house parents. As seniors, they can move into their own senior housing. And that enables them to do some of the farm chores that are a part of that high school. They have a very active ag program. Students are helping with cattle, sheep, goats, rabbits, and so much more. They also help to raise different crops there. Some of them make it back into the school lunchroom. And they run the school's dairy store. And that's where they have made their own ice cream. So one of the commitments of this school that was built in 1909 was to provide tuition-free private education for students and really bring them not only a good academic environment, but also agricultural and vocational skills when they graduate. So the Milton Hershey School not only has ag education, they've got their own FFA program as well. That's a pretty cool situation for them. I'm very proud to see that. They are just one thing that's going on. With all the tariffs that we have been talking about as of late, that is impacting farm equipment in a variety of ways. And so if you listen to the folks who are at the helm for some of these larger manufacturers, for example, Case IH will tell you they feel like they're in a pretty good position right now when it comes to the tariffs. They say about 80 to 90% of their machine production is actually located here in the United States. And so much of their machinery material, like steel, is sourced domestically, about 95% of it actually. But keep in mind that anywhere 60 to 90% of Case IH machinery is pre-sold. So that means when a tariff does kick in, that's a pretty unexpected back cost that gets tacked on the end. And they're trying to avoid that as best they possible, as what they can anyway, with customers here in the U.S. If you think about Claas, they are the German-based manufacturer. They build their Luxion combines and their corn silage harvest or corn harvesters, the silage cutters, not the combines, here at a facility in Omaha, Nebraska. Well, 85% of their row crop machinery, though, is still built in Europe. And so in the tariff world, those production costs are affecting them, and they are working through how does it get passed on. Does it go on right down the line to the consumer? Is Claas taking some of that hit as well? They're learning more all the time with that situation. There's a newish sort of 50% tariff on steel and aluminum that has been causing some of the biggest difficulty. And then when we think about New Holland, well, they are largely viewed as a European brand, but because they have balanced out what's done in Europe, Asia, as well as the United States, that helps them as well globally to balance their business. So if they're being hit with tariffs in the U.S., hopefully that's not happening at every other location across the globe that they are working with. So tariffs are a big part of the discussion that farmers and ranches are having. Our caller earlier today, Wade, made mention of the fact that insurance could be rising for all of us with some of the wind and storms we've had this summer. And there's something out there called captive insurance. That is an 831B. You need to talk to your accountants about that, because you can put away tax-deferred dollars to build a rainy day fund and set it up like a self-insurance model. So something to keep in mind for many of our farmers as they get to the end of the year. Talk to the accountants.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't forget, come back tomorrow, but don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.